I guess I didn't make my point. My point is, first thing you have to choose is whether or not this horse is a contender. If he's a contender, then, see, and that's the bottom line. If you say he's a contender, you say he's got a chance to win the race. Then you don't take the second race back because then he has no chance to win the race. See, it's catch 22, Mr. McHugh. So if you take his second race back, in which he literally trailed the field around a racetrack, right? Well, then he's not a contender. Well, the track variant on that day was 10. The next race, he earned an 89 out of 15 in a slower race. I mean, competing in a 108-4, it's not a good race. And as far as the program is concerned, your programs, as far as my speed figures are concerned, the program is concerned, any race in which a horse is 11th, 8th, 8.5, and he's never in any other race ever been worse than 6 behind at the half, and that wasn't a good race. Why take that? Why call him a contender, I guess, is really the basic. Okay. If he's a contender, that was the big F. If he's a contender for you, the last race. If he's not a contender for you, no race. Look at Frontline Fable for a minute. Well, what I'm going to say to you here is that it really doesn't matter a hell of a lot, does it? The last race was good. The race before that was good. The race before that was good. Huh? There's no reason. I mean, they're all good races. As far as he's concerned, that window is open. What you probably don't want to do is go back beyond February 24th. Because there was a horse obviously declining in form because each race was progressively worse than the last going to that race. So as far as those three races are concerned, smoke them if you got them. Crystal Cutter. That's not even fair. We didn't even make him a contender. What about Danaway Prospector? Yeah, second race back. You can excuse the last race. The second race back was a very good race. Why go beyond that one? Okay. This is a part. I'm sure most of you are very good at this already, because it's an intuitive thing, and once you've done it a lot, you just almost focus on that last race. But there are some guidelines, and that's where we're spending some time. What about Odat Fox? All right, now as far as the last race is concerned, it says wide in the drive, right? Okay, stretch runners are generally wide in the drive, so I mean, you got to consider that one as not being a legitimate excuse, unless it should say six wide or something like that, and they will say that. But just because he's wide in the drive, stretch runners habitually go around the field. The race before that, no reason to skip over the last one to go to the previous one. And if you go over that, beyond that, you're back into all the way back on a turf race. If you go on back from that, you're back at Oak Tree last year. And that race at Oak Tree represents the two races in his entire form cycle that are far superior to anything he's ever done. So the last race is fine. I mean, he'll come up for you. The race is good. He'll come up as a closer in your field, which is a negative here. But the point is, as far as Odat Fox is concerned, that pace line selection ought to be the last race on him. So you got a little bouncing back here. I mean, some of them you can go back two or three races and take your choice. Some of them you should take the last race, and that's the way most races are. And occasionally you can go down, you know, much beyond that, as long as you're within the relatively same form condition cycle. Because you do not want a $10,000 race in which you decide to open that window, if you will, all the way back to a $32,000 claiming race and decide that that's the horse you're looking at today, because that won't work.
Would you comment on Yes, I'm Blue?
Sure.
A year back, he ran a race, then he was off for 9 months. He'd been off 2.5 months, and you select the last one, and I would be very shy about betting him to win. Why wouldn't he run back like a claiming race? I know it's an allowance, but why would he hold him off 2.5 months after running such a good race?
All right. If you look at it, first of all, you don't want to go back and use one of the earlier races, and I'll tell you why. Those were as a 2-year-old and as a brand-new 3-year-old. And just like high school versus college athletes, they mature greatly between that early season 3-year-old and as a 4-year-old. That's just, they grow up. So you don't want to go back and use one of those races. Generally speaking, those races will be inferior to the races they run as older horses, providing they haven't gone wrong in terms of condition. So now let's take a look at his last race. The reason he would take the time with this horse, look at where they were running the horse. San Miguel, the San Vicente, those are all of the races, the San Rafael, those are all of the races preceding the Santa Anita Derby. This is a very highly regarded racehorse, high potential type. Now, off of his layoff, he comes out and goes 21-2, 44-2 over at Santa Anita on a track that was notorious for its condition. Horses were pulling muscles the whole meeting long. All right. Now, that could have happened. The other thing that could have happened is that this trainer decided he wanted just a little more time to get the horse right. But when you're looking at this and the horse not dropped into a claiming race, you're looking at somebody trying to protect the condition of the horse. Soft Shoe Shot, they were taking care of him, too. It's the same thing in Soft Shoe Shot. He started to regress in form. Take a look at him. He regressed in form, right? What did they do with him then? They gave him some time to recover. They didn't drop him in claiming. They didn't continue to run him out of form. They gave him some time to recover. That's what they did with Yes, I'm Blue. Yeah, and you get more often than not, you'll be burned going back to a 2-year-old season when you're dealing with a 4-year-old. When I say more often than not, I would say heavily more often. Okay, that's probably why. That's the assumption you should make here on a horse that might be an important horse. You want to do the Derby now? Any further on that, I want to open it up to questions again. Any questions about what we've been covering? Any questions about pace line selection? When I say a widening window, it's as you look at the last race and decide that you can go back because of an excuse or some other such thing to the previous race, then you decide that maybe you can go back to the other one. Now your window is widened to 3 possible races for this horse's ability. And the further you can go back on a horse, the wider the window. That's all. Well, no, what I'm saying is that if you don't do that, you'll get locked into the last race a lot. Well, no, legitimate excuses. My point is that let's take a look at Soft Shoe Sure Shot. This is a horse that ran second yesterday and ran really well. Look at its last race. Okay, if you don't excuse that last race for a couple of reasons, one of the reasons is, based on the race before that, the horse apparently lost its form to some degree, and it was also tried on that hillside turf course, which you either like or you don't like. Now, if you don't excuse that race and widen the window, in effect, I'm kind of sorry I use that word now, but if you don't excuse that race, that's the race you get for the horse. All right? It's not a negative to excuse it, it just doesn't make sense to use it. Now, go back one race beyond that. That's the race that the horse apparently went off for. Now, if there's not a layoff present, which there is now, or a freshening period, if that period from February 12th to May 4th did not exist, this horse would be a non-contender based on its last two races. But since that freshening period does exist, with good workouts in the meantime, you have a little more. You can look at that race and say, well, that's a reason they wind up having to freshen the horse. So now you go to the third race back. Now, you don't want to go beyond that because there's no reason to. That third race back is perfectly representative. So your window in this particular example is really three races. To go back beyond the third one doesn't make any sense. Okay? But you're not looking for excuses, but you've got to grant them. Otherwise, you wind up with one or two horses in there, and you look at the other one, and you get back to because. You know, why don't you like Soft Shoe Shot? Well, because. But actually, there's enough going for him. And remember now, this is an allowance race. These are horses that still have some ability, and they're being kind of cobbled. If this were a claiming race, it would be a little different story, because you'd have some claiming values to attend to. He might be dropping in here, which would be a negative. Maybe be stepped up after some freshening. When a horse is stepped up after a freshening period, that's a positive sign on the part of the trainer. He's just telling you, hey, I was running him at 25, but this horse belongs at 40 today. Get interest. Don't look at it and say, oh, it could win at 40, 25, because of the freshening period and being stepped up when they don't have to, off of some time off, then that becomes a positive. It's not easy. Let's go back to, let's get some practical examples now. Go back to this first race at Hollywood yesterday. Contender and pace line selections that we're going to make here in this race now. First race at Hollywood yesterday. Yesterday, we're going back to that race. The reason we're going to take this race first is because we're so familiar with it. Road to Win. Contender piece of this first. We'll attend to both sides on each horse before we go on. We'll make it a contender or not a contender, and then we'll choose a pace line. This is the horse that we decided before by virtue of a fourth place finish only two lengths behind in August of 88 to give it that much time off and drop it all the way to $10,000 is a serious negative here. So no pace line selection is necessary on this particular horse, right? Now, the reason I said we will use a scratched horse is because I like Tough Act 2 is a good example of what you have to deal with every day in these claiming races. Tough Act 2, we decided that based on its last race, it definitely needs a drop. The decision we were trying to make earlier was how big a drop, right? Okay, but we'll accept, we would accept a drop to 12.5, so to drop to 10 isn't going to send us off scurrying in another direction. All right, so that's a contender here. Pace lines. The up close, remember I mentioned to you that up close at a higher level would suffice as far as last race rateability, or suitability, I should say. Now, look at its last race. It's 7th by 5, 5th by 6, against 21.3, 44.4, at $20,000. At the first call, it's got 5 of those $20,000 horses beaten. At the second call, it's got 7 of them. At the stretch call, it's got 7 of them. And at the wire, it's in the middle of the field, it's got 6 $20,000 horses beaten. That is not a bad race. All right? The rateable race, the pace line selection in here, is the previous race at 12.5. Anybody have any problem getting to that at all? This is one you should just make automatically here pretty quick. Yes? Sorry, I didn't like him. Because the choice you've got there is that on March 30th, if you were trying to rate him, do you go back to February of 89? That's a tough call. Because he's making that huge drop, so you don't want to go back and give him too much credit. Now, you know, but I didn't bet against him either, so it's all right. But I didn't care for him in that particular race. But as far as this race is concerned, it's the second race back, and he's a definite contender, because his last race is not bad. And in truth, his race to Sam McGee isn't bad either. But that's just a bigger class drop than I'm usually willing to accept. Go back to Circle View Drive. Did we ever attend to this horse at all? All right. This is a $10,000 claiming sprint. Look at Circle View Drive. Look at all of his races and tell me whether or not you would spend any time making this guy a contender. Because if you would, I mean, he ran third in here, okay, and occasionally this kind of horse will win. But occasionally doesn't cut it. It's what this horse would normally do, and this horse would normally run off the board. You have no pace lines. You're using internal fractions, and if you use the internal fractions, it's going to put him a long way behind on a racetrack that you can't tolerate being a long way behind. Fairly Omen. This is one we decided was making. Remember, it came back. It started. It was running for 40 and 50 last year. brought the horse back at 16, didn't run all that bad at 16, went up to 20, ran about the same race, dropped it to 16 again, and this time regressed a whole lot. Now, that's the entire form cycle on this horse, three races. If you would decide to make this horse a contender, you're locked into those three races, and I would be locked into the last race because of its performance on the drop. If that's the case, that horse was not up close at any call, had no one beaten at the stretch call, had no one beaten at the finish. This is a non-contender. Between a negative drop and its form cycle, it's just going worse. Color Guard. What did we do with this horse finally? Without going back over that whole scenario, this was a very negative drop. But as far as analyzing the pace, I'd analyze it based on the last race and would just not accept that horse as a bet in any probability. The only thing this horse will do for you is discourage somebody else that you might like on the lead. And that's the whole reason for Color Guard being in your whole picture. But it is not a bet. Just, you can't play it. You shouldn't be. Okay. What about Diamond Life? This is a tough call. You can make a non-contender out of this horse, or you can make a contender out of this horse. The only reason I would make a contender out of this horse is that on March 2nd, we haven't seen the horse for 2 months, right? Now, they gave the horse a freshening period. They dropped the horse a little bit. It's not a precipitous drop. They drop it a little bit. But basically what they do is drop it back to where it belonged anyway. So it's nothing negative about that one. So it's got 2 months off. So the last race will not be representative, and you can't require it to be up close because of the 2 month drop. That's not even a usable or rateable race. The workout line on this horse is kind of critical. Look at the workout line on the horse, and you can see the horse is being brought back to a race. This is one we talked about earlier. Look at the pattern on the horse. Including a 47 flat, 47 best of morning the other day. Okay. So the last race isn't terribly important on this horse because it's so long ago. Now, if you're going to make this horse a contender, I would make this horse a contender. Then you've got to find a pace line on the horse. Now, to use the last three races says that it's not a contender anyway. So treat this horse as though it were a layoff horse. And if you look at the race on January 15th, look at that one, and then I'll tell you that's a bad race to use. The January 15th race was in the mud, and it also represents, without a doubt, the horse's best lifetime race. The horse apparently just freaked out in the mud that day. Okay. So now that we're going back, this window's wide open on this horse if you're going to make him a contender. The best race here to use is his race at Hollywood. It's on this course. It's at this level, isn't it? At this level. It represents his normal running style. So if you accept him as being a contender in here and a positive workout line coming to that, then you can accept that horse. The problem with that is you can accept him as an early runner, and I'll be damned if old Color Guard isn't in this race. That's going to hurt him, and that's why you can't throw Color Guard out of your analysis, because he's got to be in there. But nevertheless, that's how you would handle Diamond Life. Whether you like him or not, that's how you would handle him. I've done this race a few times, but I really like this race because it gives an awful lot of examples to exactly what we're talking about. All right, now Hand Secret. Diamond Life, the one on... If I were going to pick a pace line on this horse, the way you handle him is to pick December 14th. It's on this racetrack, represents his style. The fractions aren't anything incredible. He can handle those. Hand's Secret. Now, we decided that Hand's Secret has been running kind of in the... He was up fairly close to the first call last time, and I'll be honest with you, Hand's Secret would not be attractive to me as a play. He's against the bias here. And his last races have been dull at just about every call. The way you get back to Hand Secret, in normal circumstances, Hand Secret would be a throw-out. But because of yesterday's situation with both of the front-running types and Diamond Life, who was coming off a layoff, two of the other front-running types both being absolute throw-outs, you open the race up and you can go back into it. Anytime, that's fair game. And if you were to do that, on first blush, if I were handicapping this race right on the surface, I'd throw out Hand Secret, to be honest with you. He's dull at all calls, three races in a row, I think, even though he split the field. His last fraction's okay. He's not disgracing himself. He falls behind and just kind of stays there. All right? He is not the kind of contender you want to embrace all year long. But in this particular race, if you're trying to beat the favorite, you put Hand Secret right back into the race. Now, which race would you use? That's the problem. Okay. I wouldn't have used any. I would have just assumed that the horse was going to run okay, and because of his style, I would have played him. But I wouldn't have used any race on it. Because if you use the third race back, guess what? You're using a $32,000, a race he ran at $32,000. Although he wasn't really close in it, you might be able to get away with that. But some of these others, he's just not an attractive horse for you. He wins the race, but he's still not very attractive. And the only way you get him is by eliminating the early pace tax. Wheeler Canyon. He's a scratch, but which race would you use on this guy? He's a contender. We decided that earlier because he was making a positive class drop from 12.5 to 10 off of so-so races, so it's not negative. Second back, right? It's a sprint. Fractions are okay. All right. Preemptory action. We decided that was not a play. Do we have anybody else in here? No. Yeah, we do. What about Gypsy's Prophecy? This would be kind of an example of how you can open the window on some of these horses for the pace line. First of all, Gypsy's Prophecy, look at his last race. Yesterday's race is how far? 6 furlongs, right? All right. One of the guidelines that I gave you that will serve you well until you want to make the exceptions, and feel free to make them, but just don't just arbitrarily do that, will be close up at the stretch call if the horse is running at level, right? So now look at the last race. Where was the horse at the stretch call? Was it up close at the stretch call in the sprint? Sprint, they have to be within about 3.5 of the stretch call. 3 to 3.5 to be up close. What do you think? Is that horse up close? Yeah, and I agree with that. See, look at the last... this is a loaded question here. What was the last race? It was 7 furlongs, wasn't it? So the stretch call in the last race is already a full 6 furlongs. So sometime between the second call, where he was 2 lengths behind, and the stretch call, where he was 4 3/4 lengths behind, he was probably 3 lengths behind, right? Now, I'm serious now, because this is crucial. He's shortening up, which rolls back the stretch call. That's why I say, if you use guidelines, you got to use them with a modicum of common sense here. And that is common sense. At the 6 furlong, because the stretch call in this race is 6 furlongs, roll it back a little bit, and the horse qualifies as up close, doesn't it, at this level? True? All right. Now, what about the pace line? Would you use that as a pace line? Well, would you? How long was the horse off prior to that race? 5 months, right? 5.5 months. That horse has been out of training here. So is the last race excusable? We may not even get to a pace line on this guy. We might throw him out. But the point is that race excusable? That's the point I'm trying to make. Is that excusable? It is, isn't it? Well, what about the race before that? It's a route. The fractions are okay. Obviously didn't come out of the race very well to take 5 months off afterward. That would be okay if you use the internal fractions of that route, for example. That would be okay. But if you don't want to use the interior fractions of the route, the previous race, which was run at 10 also, would be usable as your pace line. Pardon? And it's Hollywood. That's the way you get to that. In this case, you got a little wider window on the horse because of legitimate excuses. Yes. That's fine. You're missing my point. My point is, I said a moment ago that you might eliminate him all the way as a contender. You're right. He doesn't have a work pattern, but he doesn't need one. He raced 9 days ago. He doesn't need a work pattern there. Point is that he didn't run up. I know, but he didn't run that bad, did he? I threw him out too. But what I'm saying is you can't always just throw him out based on that. But he has a race 9 days ago. You can't throw him out for lack of work. I mean, if a horse... Consider this for a moment. This is a $10,000 horse, right? He ran 9 days ago. The fact that they can run him back in 9 days, doesn't that tell you something about his condition? He's not on crutches or the vet wouldn't let him in here. Okay. So the work pattern, in his last race, the work pattern was horrible. But now that he's got that race... what you see is what you get. And you can excuse that race, you can excuse the previous one, or use the internal fractions if you want, because they're not bad, but you could excuse that route race, because it's a different distance. And you could use the November 17th race if you wanted. That's the way you get to that. Now, in this horse, I didn't even make him a contender here. Okay? But that's a different issue. Yes? Well, I'm saying you can excuse it if you want. If you want to use the last race, that's okay, too. I'm not saying that's not the race to use. It's just that Shorten, if you were to use the last race, Shorten, he's beaten lengths to about 4.5, though, instead of the 6 3/4, because he had to run another 1/8 of a mile. In fact, that might be a point worth covering. If you want to use Gypsy's Prophecy's last race, the fact that he's running 6 furlongs today and not the 7, if you were to use his last race, it's perfectly acceptable to use the beaten lengths at the stretch call as his final beaten lengths last time. Because that would have been his beaten lengths at 6 furlongs. It's perfectly acceptable to do that. Pardon? The race final time. Put it in at 7 and put... If you were using... I don't know what program you run now, but if you were to put him in, you put in 22, 44, 4, 123, 4, right? His beaten lengths would be 1 3/4, 2, and 4 3/4. And if you have a stretch call program, then the final would be 4 3/4 also. Point is, don't make him pay overly for that, because he's not running that far today. It's acceptable to do that. A lot of things are acceptable. There are some things that are unacceptable that will cause you a big drain of capital. These are bad horses. And the reason I chose this race is because you get a feel for races you can excuse and races you can't excuse, that's all. And I agree with his point on the fact that the way Gypsy's Prophecy was prepared for his last race, but obviously he was training away from the racetrack or he wouldn't have run as well as he did last time. Now, it's also, his best race will probably be his next one. Because statistically, the third race after the layoff is the best. It's just proven every year. Let's take some examples from today. One point that I'm gonna definitely try to make before we're finished is the one I mentioned earlier, that it's not an exact science, that all you can do is take certain truths, apply them as best you can, and then make exceptions when it has to be made. It's just not something you can say, black and white, this is the way it is, this is the way that is, this is the way that is. It's just not that simple. And people that think it is are the ones that get frustrated trying to play the races. The first race at Hollywood today, a mile and 3/16, $10,000. So it's bottom of the barrel. And you're going to want a horse that can go beyond the mile here, that's for sure. Okay, because you're going to have to go a mile and 3/16. So you're going to give a little preference to horses that can get that kind of a distance. One of the things that we're going to do in here, instead of making a lot of exceptions now that I've indicated that you can make them, is to kind of stay close to these up-close guidelines, because that will establish most contenders in most races for you. And horses that are not up close, you really don't want to be too flexible with, because they'll usually come back and run the same race that you accepted earlier. So with that in mind, let's take a look at a horse called Proto Always. Proto Never is the name of the horse. Now, surprisingly, the horse was up close for the first quarter, but if you recall, one of the guidelines was that in the last usable race, which happens to be the last race on this horse, there's no reason to look beyond that, that the horse should have been running up close at the stretch call if it's in class, right? It is in class. That means the horse shouldn't have been more than 5 lengths behind at the stretch call. Now, this horse was 5 lengths behind when he opened a gate. So take a look at that race. On the horse is 15 back at the stretch call. The previous race, it's 14 back at the stretch call. The previous, it's 6. And before that, it was razor sharp, and it was only 5.5. Okay, that's a bad horse. And don't fantasize circumstances in which a horse like that can win, because you'll just drive yourself crazy. Get really good at cashing the mid-run, middle-of-the-line races, and once you do that, then you can take a look at a horse like that and say, well, now what if? But don't do that, especially when you're learning to play this game regularly.